Meteor scurried off with our catch to the fish mat, since Dorad said it was me they came to talk to, and he was glad to get away from strangers. When he had gone, Dorad said to me, smiling but with authority, "You came to South Shore seeking me." "It may be that I didn't know it," I said, a fairly common phrase among the marsh people who avoid direct negatives and unnecessary commitments. "You have not seen me in vision?" "I believe I have not," I said humbly. "Our ways have been coming closer for a long time now," Dorad said. He had a deep, soft voice and an impressive manner. "I know you were brought up among foreigners and have only been in Ferusi for a year. Our kinsman at the big house in South Shore said to tell me that you had come at last. You seek a teacher. You have found him. I seek a seer. I have found him. Come with me to my village, Reed Isles, and we will begin your training. For it is late, very late. You should have been learning the way of the visions for years now. But we will make up for lost time. For time is never lost, is it? We will bring you into your power, maybe within a year or two, if you give all your soul to it. Your second initiation, then, will not be as a mere fisherman or reed cutter, but as a seer of your clan. There is no seer of the Aitanu now, not for many years. You have been long wanted, long awaited, Gavir Aitana." Of all he said, it was those last words that went to my heart. Who had ever waited for me to come? A stolen child, a slave, a runaway, a kind of ghost to my own people, a stranger everywhere else. Who wanted or would wait for me? "I'll come with you," I said. Chapter 13. Reed Isles was the westernmost, the smallest, and the poorest of the five villages of Ferusi. Its houses were scattered on the isles and inlets of a bay in the southwest corner of Ferusi Lake. Dorad lived with his meek and silent cousin Tenek in a hut on a muddy, reed-surrounded peninsula. There were fewer women than men in the village, and the women seemed indifferent and aloof. There were 40 or so people, but only 4 marriage huts. The fish mat wasn't the sociable, pleasurable event it was in East Lake. I didn't get to know anyone in this village well but Dorad. He kept me busy and away from the others. I missed the easy, lazy companionship of fishing with my uncle or with the young men, talking with Tisso and other girls, watching the boat builders, cutting reeds, planting rice grass, the slow day rhythm that I had lived in for a year now, often bored into a kind of trance, but never unhappy. I went out fishing daily here, and we often kept half the catch for ourselves, for the women provided few vegetables, little meal, no fruit. I certainly would have been willing to fry up our catch or make fish cakes with the coarse meal the women ground, but for a village man to cook would turn society inside out and upside down and make me an outcast from my people forever. As it was, Dorad and I ate a good deal of fish raw, as I'd done with Almeida, but we didn't have any horseradish to give it a kick. Nobody here shot birds. They were forbidden in this village as sacred creatures. Hasa, wild goose, duck, swan, and heron. Little freshwater clams, delicious and very common here, were a staple of the local diet, but they became poisonous at rare, unpredictable intervals. Dorad forbade himself and me to eat them. Temek told me that Dorad's previous novice, a child, had died of the shellfish poisoning 3 years ago. Dorad and I didn't get on well. My heart is not naturally rebellious, and I wanted very much to learn what he could teach me about my power, but I'd learned to distrust my own trustfulness. Dorad demanded absolute trust. He gave me arbitrary orders and expected silent obedience. I questioned the reason for each act. He refused to answer. I refused to obey. This went on for a half month or so. One morning, he instructed me to spend the entire day kneeling in the hut with my eyes shut, saying the word Eru. 2 days earlier, I had done just that. I told him I couldn't kneel that long again. My knees were still too painful from the last time. He said, "You must do as I say," and went off. I'd had enough. I made up my mind to walk back round the lake to East Lake Village. He came back into the hut and found me knotting up the little bundle of my belongings in the old brown blanket, which my uncle's cat, Prut, had nearly worn to shreds by kneading it with his claws before he went to sleep on it. "Gavir, you cannot go," he said, and I said, "What can I learn if you keep me in ignorance?" "The seer man is the guide. It is his burden and task to carry the mystery for the seer." He spoke, as he often did, pompously, but I felt he believed what he said. "Not this seer," I said. "I need to know what I'm doing and why I should do it. You want blind obedience. Why should a seer be blind?" "The seer of visions must be guided," Dorad said. "How can he guide himself? He gets lost among the visions. He doesn't know whether he lives now or years ago or in years to come. You yourself, though you've barely begun to travel in time, have felt that. No one can walk that path by himself, unguided. My aunt Gegemer, an Umbamer," Dorad said, "women babbling nonsense, screeching and screaming, seeing useless glimpses of things they don't understand, fuh! A seer is trained and guided. He serves his clan and people. He is a man of value. I can make you a man of value. I know the secrets, the techniques, the sacred ways. Without a seer man, a seer is no better than a woman." "Well, maybe I am no better than a woman," I said, "but I'm not a child. You treat me as a child." New ideas came hard to Dorad, as perhaps they do to most villagers and tribesmen, but he could listen. He could think, and he was extremely, almost unnaturally, sensitive to mood and hint. What I said struck him hard. He said nothing for a while, and finally asked, "How old are you, Gavir?" "About 17. "Seers are trained young. Ubek, whom I was training, was only 12 when he died, and I took him when he was 7. He spoke slowly, thinking as he spoke. "You are an initiated man. A child can be trained to obey in all things." "I was well trained in trust and obedience," I said with some bitterness, "as a child. Now I want to know what I'm to put my trust in and what power I'm obeying." Again he listened to what I said and thought before he spoke. "The power of your soul to see truth," he said at last. "That is what both the seer and seer man must follow. Since I'm not a child, why can't I learn to do it by myself? But who would read your visions?" he said with blank surprise. "Read them?" I said as blankly. "I must learn to read the truth in what you see, so so that I can tell people of it. That's my task as your seer man. How can a seer do that for himself?